Current world events, when viewed through a prophetic lens, indicate that mankind has reached a point in the timeline of Bible prophecy, which Jesus defined as the beginning of sorrows. This particular end of days time frame is foretold in Matthew 24, and everything that Jesus prophesied from verse 3 until the final verse relates to what we see unfolding around us in this day and time. As a Christian who has studied Bible prophecy for almost 30 years, I can discern the prophetic signs that are coming to pass, which relate to the end of this world and the return of Jesus Christ immediately after the Great Tribulation and horrific persecution of his people at the hands of the devil and his operatives. It is absolutely staggering to me that the vast majority of modern-day Christians actually believe that Jesus will be returning in secret to remove them from this persecution which he himself prophesied concerning his people. And yet the scriptures are crystal clear concerning this great slaughter of Bible-believing Christians prior to Jesus Christ's return immediately after this event, not before it takes place, but afterwards as testified by Jesus himself. As prophesied in Matthew 24:29-30. The vast majority of people throughout the world are completely unaware that mankind is on the verge of the biblical Antichrist's reign over the nations and people of this earth. There is, however, much misunderstanding throughout modern-day Christianity when it comes to the interpretation and understanding regarding the biblical definition of the word Antichrist. This terminology is actually used to describe anyone, I'll say that again, anyone, that does not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, as shown in the relevant scriptures. The character who many refer to as the Antichrist is in fact one of the two beasts of Revelation 13. Unfortunately, many Christians are not even aware that there are two beasts contained within this prophecy, each symbolizing different forms of power and opposition to God. The first beast rises from the sea and is often interpreted as representing political power and is extremely oppressive. He is depicted as having 10 horns and 7 heads, with blasphemous names written upon his heads. The beast is given great authority and is empowered to wage war against God's people. This demonic entity in human form is greatly admired by many. It is prophesied that mankind will be forced to worship him. His reign represents tyranny and persecution. The sea from which the first beast rises, as contained in Revelation 13 verse 1, does not refer to the ocean, but rather to the nations and people of the earth. This proclamation can be verified in Revelation 17:15, in which people, multitudes and nations are symbolically described as water. This prophetic definition is also the symbolic sea from which the first beast arises. He does not arise out of the ocean. The second beast comes up from the earth and is sometimes referred to as the false prophet. This entity is depicted as having 2 horns like a lamb but speaks like a dragon, indicating a deceptive and manipulative nature. This beast exercises authority on behalf of the first beast, performing miraculous signs to deceive people into worshiping the first beast. And it is this second demonic entity who enforces the biblical mark of the beast, which is required by the devil for buying and selling, symbolizing economic control and loyalty to the beast's authority. Together, these two beasts represent a comprehensive system of worldly power, both political and religious, that opposes God's people and seeks to lead them astray. The second beast is described as having 2 symbolic horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. This description enables us to discern that this second beast will appeal to and shall also deceive millions upon millions of non-discerning Christians, because they will perceive him as being literally sent from God to save them from oppression, while not realizing that this entity is in fact a demon, portraying himself as a Christian savior. Christians are sternly forewarned in the Bible that the devil himself and his operatives can appear as angels of light in order to deceive God's people, and that's a biblical fact. Jesus also warned those who will live during the time of the final fig tree generation on earth to beware that they are not deceived. If Christians, as some wrongly believe, cannot be deceived, then what's the point of his warnings? The Bible clearly states that non-discerning Christians can and will be spiritually and morally deceived. The two beasts in Revelation 13 symbolize a concerted effort to undermine biblical Christianity and establish a tyrannical regime that demands worship of the devil. Here's how they seek to achieve this. First beast, political oppression and persecution of believers. The first beast represents powerful political entities that persecute Christians, aiming to silence their voices and eliminate their influence. This could manifest through laws that restrict religious freedom or through violent oppression. Cult of personality. The beast is admired and worshipped, often drawing people away from true faith. By creating an environment where loyalty to the beast is celebrated, it cultivates a culture that opposes biblical values. Deception of authority. By claiming authority granted by the dragon, Satan, the beast misleads people into believing that obedience to it is a form of allegiance to a higher power, effectively conflating worship of the state with worship of God. 2. The second beast, spiritual deception, false prophecies and miracles. The second beast will at some point during his appointed reign perform incredible signs and wonders to deceive people into following the first beast. This represents a counterfeit spirituality that mimics true miracles, drawing people away from authentic Christian faith. Enforcement of the mark. The second beast mandates the mark of the beast for economic participation, symbolizing total control over personal choices and livelihoods. This coercion pressures individuals to abandon their faith in order to survive. Religious syncretism. By promoting worship of the first beast alongside the dragon, the second beast encourages a blending of faiths that dilutes the core tenets of Christianity, leading people to compromise their beliefs. 3. Collective strategy for control. Economic and social manipulation. Together, the beasts establish a system where economic survival is linked to allegiance to their authority. This creates a cycle of dependency that further entrenches their power and diminishes the ability of Christians to resist. Cultivation of fear. By fostering an atmosphere of fear and persecution, the beasts aim to intimidate believers, forcing them to choose between their faith and their well-being. This manipulation leads to spiritual and physical enslavement. In summary, the two beasts seek to destroy biblical Christianity by employing a combination of political oppression and spiritual deception, creating a comprehensive system that demands loyalty and worship to a tyrannical regime, ultimately serving the interests of the devil. The two beasts of Revelation will set out to destroy the cities and nations of the world. They are also associated with Daniel 7:23. The prophet describes a vision of a fourth kingdom that will arise upon earth in the end of days. This kingdom is depicted as being very different from all others before it. Daniel describes this final world order as strong, terrifying, and with symbolic teeth of iron with which it will devour and crush the nations and people of the world. This prophetic fourth and final end times kingdom of the beast is Klaus Schwab's 21st century fourth industrial revolution. They are both one and the same. Schwab's fourth revolution will be the fulfillment of Daniel's fourth kingdom of the beast. This is where we are prophetically in relation to end times Bible prophecy. Humanity stands at this moment upon the precipice of what the Bible describes as the appearing of the Book of Revelation's second beast, also referred to as the false Messiah, as foretold in Revelation 13 verses 11 to 18. And it is this same demonic entity that is prophesied to deceive millions of Bible-believing Christians during a time of socio-economic uncertainty. This man will also enforce the biblical mark of the beast and will not hesitate to execute all non-conformers and anyone that refuses to worship the first beast as prophesied in Revelation 13 verses 15 to 18, in which the vast majority of born-again Christians will be martyred for refusing to worship the beast or take his mark. Sadly, many professing Christians will reject Jesus and accept the devil's mark in order to save their physical lives, but will lose their eternal life in the kingdom to come. To fully understand the reason why these two demonic entities arise in the very end of days to set up the reign of the devil, we need to examine the Book of Revelation scriptures concerning Satan's exile from heaven with his rebellious angels and the prophecies that relate to their anger and hatred of mankind, and in particular, Bible-believing Christians. As this event is prophetically connected to what is unfolding in this day and time, Satan's fall from heaven is the ultimate rebellion against God, fueled by pride and ambition. Cast out with a third of the heavenly angels who joined him in defiance, they were cast onto the earth, in a clash of wills between the Creator and the created. In his great fury and bitterness, Satan seeks to wreak havoc on humanity, aiming to corrupt and destroy entire nations and their populations. His agenda is marked by deceit and manipulation, targeting the vulnerabilities of the human heart. Knowing that his time on earth is limited, he intensifies his efforts to foster chaos and division, hoping to lead as many souls as possible away from the gospel of salvation. This relentless pursuit reflects his desire not only for revenge against God, but also for dominion over a world that he perceives as his to conquer. The Great Tribulation is also the book of Revelation's fifth seal, persecution of Bible-believing Christians. This affliction is often characterized as a period of intense persecution and suffering of God's faithful believers at the hands of the devil and the synagogue of Satan. This era is marked by widespread deception, moral decay, and a relentless assault on Bible-believing Christians. Satan, aware of his impending defeat, unleashes his fury against those who remain faithful to the gospel and loyal to God during this time of great affliction. While many other Christians will give in to the worship of the beast and take his mark. During the Great Tribulation, believers face trials and persecutions that test their faith and endurance to the max. They shall experience oppression from governments, complete societal rejection, and intense spiritual warfare, with temptations to abandon their beliefs, as well as compromise their Christian values. The atmosphere during this unprecedented time of great affliction is one of fear and uncertainty, as the forces of evil prevail against those Christians who remain faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ unto death. Yet, this period also highlights the incredible resilience and patience of these end-time saints, who draw great strength from their faith and the unbreakable promises of God. They stand firm upon the spiritual foundation of Christ, often finding solace in prayer, community, and scripture. Ultimately, the tribulation serves as a catalyst for spiritual growth and a deepening of their commitment to Christ as they anticipate the ultimate victory of good over evil. An astonishing fact concerning the first beast, who is depicted as symbolically having 7 heads and 10 horns, is that this entity is the devil incarnate upon the earth in the form of a man, and is prophesied to persecute Bible-believing Christians unto death in verse 7. It is possible to identify that the symbolic 7-headed beast of Revelation 13 verses 1 to 10 is Satan, that old serpent the devil, which are also descriptive names for the 7-headed great dragon. There is no doubt whatsoever, when connecting the prophecies together, that the 7-headed first beast of Revelation 13, who makes war against the end times people of God, is Satan, the great 7-headed dragon. The identities of the 2 beasts of Revelation 13 has been an ongoing mystery within Christianity for several millennia. However, there are 2 candidates that are walking this earth today, whom I believe fit the prophetic profile and criteria of the 2 beast entities. I firmly believe that I can identify both beasts of Revelation 13 within the prophetic context of this video. Now that I have shown the relevant prophecies concerning the 2 end times beasts of Revelation 13 and the reason for their appearance on this earth immediately prior to the return of Jesus Christ, I would also like to share something that has crossed my mind in relation to these 2 entities. I have been contemplating the possibility that the 2 beasts could be operating on opposing sides. Just think about it. If the devil's agenda is to divide and conquer the nations and people, then it is absolutely possible that he and his false messiah will lead both sides of the political, social, and religious divide. This makes so much sense because the Bible foretells that Satan and his operatives will appear as godly people and will deceive unsuspecting Christians, whom Jesus defined as the very elect in Matthew 24:24. So, I decided to put my theory to the test by asking AI if it was possible that the 2 beasts could operate on opposing sides, and this is the answer that it gave me. Question: is it possible that the 2 beasts of Revelation 13, verses 1 to 18, could actually deceive the world by first appearing as political or religious enemies, left and right, but have an agenda to unify the world under the worship of the devil? And if so, how would they go about achieving this?
Yes, it's possible to interpret the two beasts in Revelation 13 and the false prophet as working strategically to unify the world under the worship of the beast, while initially appearing as political or religious adversaries. And here's how they might achieve this. 1. Manipulation of ideologies. The beasts could exploit existing divisions, political, religious, or social, by presenting themselves as champions of opposing sides. This could foster conflict that ultimately leads people to seek a unifying solution, which they provide. 2. Deceptive miracles and signs. The false prophet is described as performing great signs, Revelation 13:13, to convince people of their authority. These miraculous acts could lead people to view them as legitimate leaders, thus drawing followers from both sides. See crisis creation. By engineering crises, whether economic, social, or environmental, the beasts could create a sense of urgency, positioning themselves as saviors who offer unity and peace in times of chaos, thereby diverting worship toward the beast. 4. Gradual integration. They could introduce policies or ideologies that gradually integrate opposing factions, appealing to shared values or fears, ultimately steering them toward allegiance to the beast. 5. Compromise of beliefs. The agenda might involve diluting or compromising the core beliefs of various factions to create a syncretic belief system that promotes worship of the beast, making it seem acceptable or even desirable. 6. Social pressure and persecution. By leveraging societal norms and pressures, those who refuse to conform may face ostracism or persecution, pushing individuals toward compliance and worship of the beast as a means of survival. Through these strategies, the beasts and the false prophet could manipulate the narrative, leading the world toward a unified worship of the beast while disguising their true intentions behind a facade of opposition and conflict resolution.
The false industrial revolution is a combination of technological breakthroughs which will completely change business models, society, economies. Fourth industrial revolution is coming with enormous speed, and we change not only what we are doing, but who we are. The world will grow more together in the digital age. We are becoming more interdependent. We will have not less, we will have more globalization. But the question is, how do we master and how do we construct this new type of globalization? I call it globalization 4.0. It's a poison for society. We cannot leave people behind. We have to make everything to ensure social cohesion of a society, because social cohesion is the prerequisite for a democratically functioning country.
The World Economic Forum's Great Reset will usher in the devil's 42-month reign upon the earth, in combination with the synagogue of Satan Talmudic Jews and their genocide of Bible-believing Christians. The Great Reset is without a question of a doubt Satan's prophetic war against God's people that will result in the mass execution of born-again Christians throughout the entire world, and in particular, the Western nations. This prophetic slaughter of Bible-believing Christians is drawing nearer by the day, and I have been continually forewarning in my previous videos that this horrific event is at the proverbial door, and it absolutely is. The stark reality is that many of us will suffer persecution unto death at the hands of the devil and the synagogue of Satan in the very near future. We have entered into the prophetic time frame that Jesus called the beginning of sorrows, and it will be. This event is going to be a horrific time for all discerning Christians, as well as a monumental testing of our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 14 to 16. Remember the word that I said unto you, you are not greater than I. For if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. John 15 verse 20. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Matthew 24, 8 to 10. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto the Jews, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. John 15, 20 to 22.
Now that I have established the reason and purpose for the appearing of these two beasts in the very end of days, and their spiritual war against mankind, and in particular, Bible-believing Christians. In part two of this video, I will focus on the identity of these two prophetic beasts, and what I'm going to reveal in this regard may astonish some of those who are not aware of who and what these people actually are, that are walking among us. As these Antichrist beasts arise on the world stage, in the prophetic capacity that has been written concerning them, worldwide chaos and socioeconomic disorder will follow soon after. Humanity is going to behold an evil which thus far has been unprecedented throughout history, and many Christians are going to be both morally and spiritually deceived, exactly as the scriptures have prophesied. The inhabitants of this God-forsaken world stand at this moment in time upon the precipice of abject chaos, the likes of which the Bible declares has never been seen upon this earth and will never be seen again. This terrifying vision has only just begun to unfold as we draw nearer to the biblical Great Tribulation of end times Christianity. The rise of the beasts. Prophetically, the appearing of the beasts on the world stage is only the beginning. The second beast, a shady figure proclaiming false hope, is soon to appear, and with him the full weight of moral and spiritual deception. He is prophesied to deceive the inhabitants of the earth, and will force humanity to accept the biblical mark of the beast and the unholy union of man and machine. The coming tribulation awaits us. As major prophecies unfold, I examine in part two what the mark will truly mean for mankind. Who will be able to stand against the forces of darkness? The answers to these intriguing questions lie ahead. Please watch out for part two of this prophetic journey, in which the mysteries and identities of the two beasts will be revealed, as well as the terrifying consequences that await all of humanity, even though most are not aware of the coming destruction and democide of the masses.